Welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Nita Nair, MBBS, DMB, MCH, about research she presented at the 2022 San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium on the role of yoga as a complementary therapy in patients with breast cancer. Dr. Nair is a professor of surgical oncology at Tata Memorial Center in Mumbai, India. Nair and colleagues conducted a randomized trial to investigate how yoga affected disease-free survival, overall survival, and quality of life in 850 patients with non-metastatic breast cancer. Although the 15% relative improvement in disease-free survival and 14% improvement in overall survival in the patients who practiced yoga did not reach statistical significance for this trial, yoga plus conventional exercise was found to be a low-cost, low-risk complementary therapy that improved fatigue, pain, and quality of life among patients versus conventional exercise alone. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Nair discussed key data from this trial, how these results emphasize the importance of multidisciplinary breast cancer care, and the potential applications of these findings beyond breast cancer.
So my name is Dr. Nita Nair. I'm from Tata Memorial Center. I'm a professor in surgical oncology. And Tata Memorial Center is one of the largest cancer centers in Asia, in Mumbai, India.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nair, for taking the time to speak with us today. To start off, could you describe the rationale for this study and any necessary background information?
Breast cancer survival has changed significantly over the years. And right through this conference, right through all the years, we've been seeing a changing landscape of systemic therapy. We're looking at great outcomes in terms of survival. But all of this comes with a certain amount of toxicity, and that's where quality of life has become very important. And I think now we've started looking at interventions that we can look at which are low cost, low risk, that reduce all of these symptoms and toxicities, help patients improve their quality of life. So that's why we moved towards a quality of life based study. And yoga became a very simple concept to evolve and to look at as a long-term benefit for multiple reasons. Firstly, being that it looks at mastering the mind over body. So it gives the patient a certain amount of discipline. You look at probably better completion of treatment because you're going to have systemic side effects that are fewer. And of course, a very simple concept, and this came from some of the work from Lorenzo Cohen in the MD Anderson group, where you know that there are stress-related outcomes that impact treatment, impact the way you take treatment, impact the outcomes related to treatment, and yoga will always work towards getting a better response to those stressors. So the entire study was then designed using yoga as complementary therapy to patients that are taking treatment for breast cancer and looking at outcomes for long-term survival. So we designed the study with survival as an endpoint, as the primary endpoint, and quality of life as a secondary endpoint, because we wanted to look at, with the improvement in quality of life, was there going to be a subsequent improvement in survival also that they could benefit with a low-cost, low-risk technique.
What methods were used in this study?
This is very simple yoga, a lot of meditation, a lot of breathing exercises, a few postures that do get included. But we phased this very differently. So most of the patients, and I'd say about 90% of the patients in this study, had surgery as their first intervention. So after surgery, till about suture removal, there's a lot of restriction that a patient feels. Arm movements are restricted. You are teaching them exercises. So we wanted to try and do milder sort of phases of more breathing and meditation in the beginning. Once they have suture removal, right up to completion of treatment, we teach them a few exercises which include some postures but mostly meditation and breathing again. Once they have completed treatment, that's when we assess them. We're comfortable with the fact that they've been doing the yoga exercises regularly. They're also completing all the postures that we've taught them. And then we move into what is phase three, which they continue into follow-up, which will include a few more postures of yoga. What's interesting is that the entire study was designed by someone who was a caregiver herself. So she understands limitations for a patient, and they've been designed incorporating all those limitations. A lot of the postures are on chairs, And all you need to do is understand that you want to push your body, but only so much. So anything that you're doing in follow-up, anything that you're doing on treatment, you want to be able to do with a certain amount of understanding of what your body can be put through at that time. So which is why when we recommended the yoga, we were very particular about allowing patients to be comfortable with it. We did a few exercises with some of the patients before we started the study while we were planning it, and then we've incorporated a few phases. So I would say that if you look at women wanting to go into this now in the clinic, you would want to have them approach yoga instructors who understand that there will be some limitations to body movements and incorporate that into understanding.
What findings from this study are particularly important to note?
We found a large number of the women actually complained of fatigue. And it's something that I think as oncologists, we take a little lightly. We don't really give the patient that much attention to. But a large proportion of the ladies complained of fatigue, which was long-term. So this is among the first studies that's looked at yoga long-term and across a longitudinal benefit. All the other studies evaluating yoga while treating patients with breast cancer have looked at cross-sectional groups while on radiotherapy, while on certain systemic therapies. This is the first time we've looked at it, starting at the start of treatment, going all the way into 5 years of follow-up, and we have found sustained benefits even in the long term. So what this study showed us is there is a difference even for survival. Unfortunately, that did not reach statistical significance, and I'm going to say that's a little bit of statistical jugglery there, because this study was powered to answer a 25% difference in survival. What we've seen is a 15% difference in disease-free survival. So there is a definite trend to improvement even in survival, and a definite improvement in quality of life. The focus on the quality of life improvement was short-term, for systemic side effects being lower, pain being lower, arm symptoms being better, improvements in physical and emotional function being short term and slightly long term, but a sustained improvement in fatigue to almost zero among patients in the follow-up.
How do these findings demonstrate the importance of multidisciplinary breast cancer care that considers physical, mental, and social practices?
So I think it's as simple as oncologists, we focus on survival. We're doing it with the risk of toxicity that we take for the patient. And I think for a patient, long-term survival must include improvements in quality of life. And a lot of that is mental and social well-being. So this study shows you that just as simple as something like yoga, low risk, low cost, is something that you're able to incorporate early on in their treatments, allow them to be more compliant to treatment because they have less side effects, and then take that further into follow-up and have better quality of life. So it's just an amalgamation of all teams coming together and true multidisciplinary work in breast cancer.
What next steps would you like to see explored with this research?
So I'd like to actually see this go into the clinic as a routine and probably look at it across different cancer subtypes. I think with some things like a lot of the abdominal cancers and coelomic diseases, we've struggled with incorporating them into research because when patients have surgery in the abdomen, they struggle with a lot of yoga poses. So we would need to look at adjusting those for those kind of patients and maybe evaluating it across different cancer subtypes.
Based on all that we've spoken about today, what is your main message for colleagues?
So my main message for colleagues is that for us, a patient's always going to be the center of our treatment. While we look at survival benefits, we need to keep in mind that quality of life matters to them. And with all of that, we need to look at something that's low risk, low cost, so we're not adding to financial toxicity, and we're able to offer patients better outcomes and better quality of life. There's a definite quality of life benefit. It's simple procedures that have been taught. It's about having discipline and continuing with it. I think patients need to understand that they need to give themselves at least a few months to be able to see some responses to simple techniques like yoga, but also note that there is a trend to survival and we need to be cognizant of that.
What else were you excited to see come out of this past SABCS?
So I think what I found interesting so far is a lot of new molecules that are being evaluated, a lot of work with trastuzumab deruxtecan. Expensive as it may be, it's showing a lot of promise in a group which was HER2 low and didn't have treatments earlier. What I'm really looking forward to is some of the work that's coming out of our own institution, which is on triple negative breast cancers and the role of platinum, and definitely the positive trial, which is looking at quality of life with women being able to conceive with interruption of hormone therapy. So I think that's going to be exciting and looking forward to that.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.